Hey you, I got a question for you. What are you doing in June? Specifically, the 10th to the 14th. Well, if you're wondering why I'm asking you this, it's because I've got my next Mexico retreat happening in Tulum in Mexico for 4 nights, 5 days this June. Now, this whole event will be like being my best friend because we're going to be hanging out in 5-star luxury. This retreat is all about embodiment. It's about rapid growth using transformational human design and at the same time, living in the lap of luxury. So spend 5 days with me in an intimate setting, discovering your purpose, sitting poolside, having deep conversations and connecting with like-minded people who will become your lifelong friends. And honestly, it's like being my best friend for a week. So if you're curious, it's important that you know if you join before April 22nd, you'll get 1 month free in HDX. And the next 4 people who join are going to get a free 60-minute unpack session with one of my extraordinary coaches. Sound good? Well, it really is that good. At the end of the day, I want to spend this time with you deep diving into your human design while having the greatest transformations and breakthroughs of your life. And let's be honest, probably mine too. See you in Tulum.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Human Design Podcast with me, your host, Emma Dunwoody. I'm a qualified master coach and human behavior specialist, as well as being a qualified human design coach. And I work with clients every single day to answer the big questions. Who am I? Why am I here? And what is my purpose? I also assist them to transition from the person they think they should be to the person they really are on the inside. I teach people how to actually live their design instead of just knowing it. And if this is something that you want to do too, well, stay tuned or reach out for private coaching or Human Design Unpacks, where I show you exactly how to live your design.
Hey, hey, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. I am super pumped and excited because do you know what's just around the corner? Oh my goodness, I am so excited. The Mastermind. I know, I've made you wait a really long time this year. I get it. I hear you. I've constantly got questions about when is it going to be this year? Am I even going to run one this year? And yes, I am. It is absolutely, literally days away from being announced. And if you don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to my mastermind, this is the most transformational program you can possibly do. And it doesn't matter if you are flat out with life, with all your freaking balls in the air, trying to juggle work, relationships, friends, kids, everything else that's going on in your life, along with your human design study. But this is a transformational program, like absolutely transformational program. You get to spend 30 hours with me in a small group coaching environment. Like, it's going to be awesome. So I'm so pumped and excited. Now, if that sounds like something that you might want to learn more about, or at least get on the waiting list, go to the show notes, and sign up for that wait list and we'll let you know as soon as it happens. The next thing, of course, I just want to remind you because we only have a few more sleeps, that is my live masterclass, which is all about discovering your purpose with human design. This is going to be such an exciting experience. It's a 3-hour event and I'm going to do a couple of things I've never done before. We are going to do an integration exercise. So we're going to be learning and we're going to do an integration exercise and then I'm going to run some hot seats. So you will actually get a chance to potentially be coached by me on your human design and your purpose. Oh my God, does that sound like fun to you? Because it really sounds like fun to me. Cannot wait for that. So you can come along and join us. The link is in the show notes. For all those who are continuously reaching out about Bailey, our beautiful dog, thank you so much for sending lots of love. He's really well supported. He's still getting better, which is really great. So we're just keeping our fingers and toes crossed that we will continue on this beautiful journey. And I am very, very grateful for everyone's support on that. So enough from me. Let's get into today's episode, which is a conversation with Michael Barry. Enjoy. Hey, everyone, and welcome to today's podcast. I am super excited to share a journey with you today with someone that I suppose has kind of been popping up in my DMs for a while now. And I always love to share people's journeys. And I think a large part of the work that I'm here to do in the world, especially within human design, is also make sure that the guys' stories are told as well, because so often this area of personal development and spirituality is dominated by women. You know, we're the ones that go searching for the journey first. So today I'm welcoming Michael Barry. How are you?
Doing great, Emma. How are you?
Yeah, I'm really good. I'm excited to chat about your human design journey. But before we get into that, do you want to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and, of course, your human design?
Yeah, so I'm a 1-4 manifesting generator. I'm 27 years old, turning 28 tomorrow.
Wow.
I've been freelancing for like my whole life as far as holding down a job. I've had desk jobs. I've had pretty much everything you can imagine, but I always find myself going back to the creative side of things and kind of, I don't know. I like the whole process behind creating something. So, I've worked in a lot of different fields and I always find myself circling back to the same route. And human design has kind of been a very eye-opening tool to kind of, it cemented that blueprint that I have always felt about myself was kind of validated.
Yeah.
And it was a bizarre experience to read my chart for the first time and read through what all that meant. Cause I'm like, I've just felt that like my whole life. And
yeah.
It was a very, very just almost surreal.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy? You know, like, just looking at your chart right now, like that love that you have of creativity, you've got that literally the channel all the way down from the 61 all the way down to the 14. And, you know, it's so much about this individualistic energy. And, you know, being an MG, you're not really designed to fit into anyone else's, anyone else's ideas or ways of being and ways of working. So I love that. I mean, so often when we look at our design, we just get so many answers, but I love that. Tell me about when you first, like, what actually sparked your interest in human design? I mean, did you sit around all day looking at different spiritual gurus and teachers and, find all your profiles or your behavioral profiles? Like, were you doing a lot of that or did human design kind of find you?
Human design definitely found me. I was actually just looking through LinkedIn for a new job just to see if there's anything better that would be a better fit for me or just, you know, switching things up. And, actually one of the jobs required me to, give them my human design chart. And so I was like, okay, this is going to be like, you know, business corporate, like management material. Or are you going to be like, you know, a good team player, et cetera, et cetera. And then I looked at that chart and I was like, there's a lot. I was just flabbergasted that they were asking for that. And I don't even remember if I even applied for the job. I think I just started going off on human design research right after that. Cause I was like, I need to know.
Oh my God.
Is.
And, of course you do. Line one.
Yep. And I'm like, okay, where do I start? Do I go with the numbers or do I go with the shapes or do I go with the lines? And then you kind of go through that first night or like first week or that first binge, I guess, if you want to call it that, of just getting all that information. And, it was like that for a while. And now I've just kind of slowed myself down in the process and tried to like, you know what, let's just take that when that moment, when your like spleen is telling you something, just feel that and know what that is in your chart. And then once that's kind of internalized, just move on to the next. So
yeah, I love that.
I would say I'm about like 20% into like my whole chart, but it has already been I'm trying to like take it slow and really internalize everything.
Yeah. And I think that that in itself is so powerful. I mean, it's something that I'm always banging on about, you know, like we see our chart for the first time. And even when our first sort of 6 months of the experiment, everyone wants to know all the details. Everybody wants to know all their gates. They want to understand their incarnation cross. They want to dive into their, you know, now the gene keys is just blowing up. So they want to know their freaking pearl sequence or whatever it is. And I think that one of the things that I know to be true, and, you know, being like, I'm well and truly like 5 years into my experiment. And one of the things that, you know, even as I'm doing my pearl sequence, I'm like, fuck off. Like, that's exactly what I've created, or that's exactly where I'm going. Yeah. And the beauty is that I never created it. I didn't learn it first. I lived it first because I'd got my strategy and authority, and I understand the importance of that. But tell me, like, when you first discovered your chart and you went down, you know, that line one, and you went down the freaking rabbit hole, like, what were the first few things that you started to implement? Like, what were the first few things you started to implement?
Well, first of all, fuck off. Like, how is this so accurate? That was like just that whole feeling of reading everything about like my defined centers. And I think the first thing I started focusing more on is that on my undefined centers and how that's affecting me.
Gold.
And how that plays roles in literally everything. So,
I want to actually just pause you there because I want to talk about that a little bit, because I don't think we talk about this enough for MGs. And I know for me personally, I've only got four centers defined. I mean, you've got five centers defined. You're a single definition, like I'm a split definition. But I was lucky enough to follow a teacher that's all about the undefined centers. And I think that we don't talk about how they affect us as MGs. We talk about our defined centers and our impact and our big energy and all of these things, but we don't talk enough about how, I mean, I know for me, I definitely resonated with so much of the projector stuff because I take on so much of other people's, or I used to take on and identify with other people's energy. And now I don't so much. So I'd love to hear about that journey for you. Like, when you first started to learn about your undefined centers, like, what specifically changed? Like, what did you do differently? What were the aha moments?
So I started to notice, like, you know, as being an MG and just kind of the centers that I have defined, I feel like I have that like walk into a room and that's like, let's go, I'll be like the one to get something started, or like, let's do a project, let's go outside and take a walk. Like, and I'm not trying to like just walk into the room and make it let's do whatever I want. And I'm like, that's just that always that internal motor just always going, and just the, like, it's a beautiful day. Let's go make something happen. Let's go make a memory, you know?
Yeah. I love that. And I just got to just jump in there because I feel like this is one of the things that MGs and manifesting generator women really struggle with this. Like, if you're an MG, people know when you walk in the room, and it's our choice. Like, we either fully step into that energy, like you're talking about, or we pull back. And I know for me, I've done both, you know, like I can go into a room and hide in a corner, or I can go into a room and fully step into my energy. So yeah, I really love that.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes that can be a lot for people that are regularly a part of your life and that are very close to you. So, just to circle back to the undefined parts of that, that really helped me just slow that motor down, kick it down a couple gears, and really think about how their energy is bouncing off of me and how I'm reflecting that back to them. So it has helped me like slow down with that a lot. And it has helped me, honestly, I tell people when I talk about human design, I'm like, it's a great like journaling tool. If you look at it as anything, look at it as a journal prompting tool. Just read about a gate, read about a center, and then write down how you feel that like that impacts you, or where you felt that in your life. So it's helped me to just, I guess, step into myself a little bit more. And you think that the undefined centers would be like, oh, that's where I feel so distant from something, but it really helps you fill in those gaps of like, where could I be better, and how could I do this better, or how could I, you know, walk into a room and still have that MG energy, but really understand that my undefined solar plexus could really use some help from some other people here. And I could learn something even just about myself through just an interaction, just by having that kind of in the back of my head. So that was how the undefined centers really impacted me. I think it just slowing myself down and not
And I think that's so important. Yeah. I think it's so important to remember that, you know, like in our undefined centers, I love what you said, like really being conscious of the energy that we are taking in and amplifying and sending back, because already sort of taking up space and having a big energy that can be. And I think that, you know, I'm curious, I wonder if things like ADHD and those things that a lot of MGs get diagnosed with, you know, I wonder if that is, like, potentially it is their undefined centers that, you know, they're already sort of operating at this big expansive aura, and maybe it's coming from those undefined centers, and the sacral's trying to do something with this energy, but it's not the sacral energy, it's the solar plexus, or it's the, you know, my case, someone's root center energy that my aura is trying to process. And I think that's a really, really important point, just to actually take a breath, take a step back, and just watch how other people's energy influences you. So I'd love to hear about, you know, like, you've got your chart, you're like, holy crap, this is a permission slip to be me. So how did it specifically change your trajectory? You know, like, if you were on one path scaling through LinkedIn looking for jobs, like, once you sort of started to understand your design, how did that really impact your life, change your life for the better?
Well, it really, I think I mentioned this earlier, like, just the validation that I was like, it helped me trust my creative self a little bit more, and helped me trust what I've. So I actually made a big career change, and I took a 3-month unpaid internship at a TV production studio just to pivot. Cause I'm like, I'm getting close to 30. I'm like, this can happen now. I can still like get by and like be the intern for 3 months. So I did that. And then I ended up, they hired me freelance for that. So I do freelance production assistance work for television and, you know, like commercial production, as well as I got a freelance writing job. And I also just now I work part time for the company that I used to work for. And so I just made a lot of changes to my everyday life that really made me feel more like I'm doing myself justice.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. And, you know, given that you are a single definition MG, like you're, you know, energetically independent, you're not someone who's necessarily designed to be working for the other. Although you can, you know, like you do have the 1-8, the 2-14 and the 29. So you contribute to the group well, but you do have that energetic independence that things like freelancing work really well for.
Yeah. And like making music has always been a big thing that I've done. And, you know, I've just kind of put it out there. And now I've got another pretty solid set of gigs lined up as far as like DJing and playing gigs like that goes. So that's super fun. And if that ends up being what my career is, then I love that. And also, you know, you can see like that up in the corner, and my room is just full of art too. So it's just, you know, I just kind of follow my creative flow, and I just,
it's so good. That's so good. And I just have to say, cause at the moment I am sort of diving into all the Gene Keys stuff, like all the sequences. And one of the cool things, just looking at your chart, like your design Jupiter, that's where your gate one sits. So the creativity, the creative. And this is really this part of like, I think he calls it culture, but it's kind of like how you make money, how you, you know, in sequence with these other four particular gates that he talks to. So that makes sense, right? Like to be able to be the freelance and to be able to, you know, come from or focus on all the creative things, like that's really powerful. I love that.
Yeah. And it ends up, you know, if I have that mindset, just even in my everyday, like social life. Like, for example, a few weeks ago, my friend's birthday, him and his identical twin. And I had just found my mom's old camera, her old Canon camera that like hadn't been used in like probably 10 years. And I was like, I figured out that it still worked. And so I told Ryan, I'm like, hey, I'm going to obviously be at the party, but I'm going to photograph the whole day. So we had like this whole day where we were out like on this barcycle. So it's like 12 people on this like cart and they're all pedaling and there's like someone steering it. And you bring your own drinks and everything. So I'm sitting there with the camera. I think I took 1,200 pictures and I made individual files for everybody that like was like a focus of the picture. So that was like my birthday with him. And he was like, you know, super grateful to have pictures like that. And I'm like, you know, that's just something that like my creative brain just decided to do. And I found that camera. I'm like, let's do it this way. And now,
and I think, it's so powerful, you know, like that is an MG responding, like pure MG responding, find a camera. And this was what lights me up, you know. And have you found, especially since, you know, listening to your sacral, following this creative energy, like have you actually found that through that process you have, even though it looks non-linear, even though it looks like you should be getting a regular job, even though all that those conditioning pieces, because I know for me, the moment I let go of all of that stuff and just literally followed the bouncing ball of my strategy and authority, everything fell into place. So have you found that? Have you found that even though it looks like it's a bit of this and a bit of that, that it actually is leading you where you want to go?
Yes. And I think you put it so, so well. It's not a linear experience. It is whenever you're starting to doubt yourself, you have to remember that that there's a yin and the yang of life, and you have to bounce through that yin and the yang. And then you'll get that one moment where like you meet somebody who's like, oh yeah, I actually know this guy who like needs a DJ for this situation. And then you're like, if I would have quit yesterday, then I wouldn't have been in the situation, or if I didn't show up tonight, I wouldn't have found that. So it does feel like you're like a bouncing ball. And then eventually you find that hole to go in. And it's like, It's you know, that little game, that like ticky-tack game where it's a bunch of like pegs and you drop like a quarter or a ball and it kind of like bounces down all weird.
Yep. Like a pinball machine. Yeah.
Yep. You're just pinballing around. And then eventually like you're going to find your way down. You're going to find that it's like, it's funneling you down to your ultimate goal. So
oh my God. I love that.
Yeah.
And I feel like, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I feel like as an MG, like that's the art that we're looking for, you know, like, because I know for me, it's really hard to let go and let the pinball machine, you know, do its magic. But yet in the same breath, like ever since I was a kid, like a little kid, I remember I would wake up of a day and I'd be so freaking excited because I didn't know what today was going to hold. Like I didn't know who I was going to meet, what I was going to do, what I was going to learn, where I was going to go. And that just lights me up. And I think that that's the real trick of being an MG is to, you know, we talk a lot about surrender with projectors, but I think with surrender and MGs, it's all about like surrendering to the nonlinear, surrendering to, you know, because I can often be like, well, I have to build my, you know, I have my business model and my, you know, my ascension model and I da-da-da-da. And at the moment, it's a perfect example. Like my mind was really attached to a particular part of the business that I wanted to grow. And I feel like the universe is going, oh my God, get the point. This is not where you're meant to be. Like go where you're excited. What do you want to do? And there's a big part of me that's kind of resisting, like, can it really be that easy? And yes, it can. Like it's that whole really learning to surrender to our design and surrender to how we're, you know, designed to show up in the world. And I think as an MG, there's just so much of that. And even if we're like me, like I'm way into my design, I'm totally like, you know, show me universe where I need to go. But it still happens where I'm like, oh, hang on a second. I am totally trying to control this outcome, or I'm really attached to the way this is going to be. So I have to just let go. And, you know, often I use that word mess, you know, like just let myself be in the mess because it's not messy. It's just divine. It just doesn't look like everybody else's linear journey. Does that resonate with you?
Yep, 100%. I don't know if you're a big concert goer, but have you ever had those moments where you're just kind of moving through the crowd and it's like you're just kind of like gliding through everybody. That's how you can't like force yourself through, or you're going to just cause problems with everybody. But there's those times where it's just like, it just cuts like butter almost. You're just,
oh my God, you're just flowing,
and you gotta. And what I've learned, I think, in those moments is to recognize it, but not linger on it. And so a big practice for me with that is when I'm feeling those like in the flow, like in the zone kind of moments where I'm like really locked in with my design, I just take a moment and do a fourfold breath. So just 4 second inhale, 4 second hold, 4 second exhale, 4 second hold, and then just keep on going.
Yeah. Regroup.
Yep. Yep. But it's almost like a regroup to not like let yourself overthink it, you know, because there is a point where you can be like, so into like, you're like, I'm tapped into my design right now, that you can almost get too cocky with it.
Oh my God. So well said. I think that is so well said.
I think we're extra vulnerable to that as well.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just, you can still go at the pace you're going and take a deep breath, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. I think that's so well said. So like, out of curiosity, do you sit around with your mates and talk about human design?
So I have to gauge that out if they're going to be open to it or not. So usually I'll just ask about like zodiac signs, and if they're like, if they know the three main ones, I'm like, okay, do you want your mind blown a little bit?
Because I love that.
I've got like astrology times 1,000 plus a little bit of science if you're interested. And I've got the genetic matrix app, and I was just looking through the other day, and I've got like 25 people's charts in there. Sweet. And I was like, I know there's some people that will be like, oh, this is kind of cool, but like woo woo, whatever. And then there's some people that like take that extra second and look at it, and they're like, wait. And I'm like, okay, you're going to need to look up this first, and then this, and then this, and don't even worry about anything else. Just like, when you're done with these five things, like text me. I give people like homework with human design.
Oh my God. I love it. I love it. It's like when, Justin went on a men's weekend, this, you know, they hiked into the forest and they lived in a cave for 3 nights and fasted and all this stuff. And apparently when he got into the car, like, he doesn't know any of these guys, he gets into the car and within 5 minutes, they're all talking about their human design. And they've literally got a projector, a manifestor, 2 NGs, a generator, and a reflector. And he texts me and I'm like, oh my God, I want to be in that car. You know, the fact that these guys are all sitting around talking about their design, I just think is so incredibly powerful, because I think this is one of the things for me is I really want to take human design mainstream. I don't want it to be just, you know, women sitting around talking about just feel good, you know, like I want it to be in this place where it's really powerful. I want men and women to be loving it because it's making their lives better. It's getting people unstuck. It's healing mental health. Like, one of the things for me, having such a deep mental health journey of my own, and then, you know, doing all the study and being able to come from that, you know, helping others from a more intellectual point of view, one of the things that I've seen over the years with human design that's so powerful is that once we learn our design, so much of that mental health stuff kind of just falls away. Because like you said in the beginning, you're like, oh my God, this is me. Like, this is me. And I get this every single unpack I do. I'm like, especially with the men, I was just explaining this to someone yesterday. So I get a lot of husbands and mates now. And when I'm unpacking their chart, because most of them have come via someone else, they haven't got the buy-in yet. So they'll be sitting back with their arms crossed, whatever. And then as I start going through their chart, the arms uncrossed, they lean a little bit forward. And then ultimately they all say the same thing. Like, how did you know me so well? And I'm like, I don't, I'm just reading what's in front of me. I think that it's so powerful, like having you out in the world sharing this, because I really, like, I want, by the time my kids have kids, I want their kids, my grandkids, going to school with their human design. So we're teaching them, you know, the way they're designed to be taught, as opposed to just putting them through this freaking process that isn't, you know, really serving anyone. But, and I don't even get me started on that. So, what would be your having been in your experiment for a while, what's your greatest advice for someone who's just discovered their human design? I know you said with your mates, you're like, go and do this and go and do that. But from your experience, like, what would be the things you think people need to either practice first or know first, or how do they, from your experience, how do they get into their design experiment?
What I like to tell people is, this is just kind of like, I love a good skeptic. I almost love it more when someone's skeptical, because I'm like, all right, well, I might break your brain right now.
I love this. I love it.
So I'm like, okay, so what is RNA? Like, why don't we know what RNA is? Why don't we know its function? Do you think that we had just, that might be a part of us that we haven't, you know, fully understood yet? And if that's the case, then don't you think that you should be even slightly open-minded about gene keys and human design and astrology? That. And I'm like, there's a lot to this chart, and also there's 3.5 billion variations of it. So your chart is your chart. Yeah. And that little kicker right there, that 3.5 billion variation thing, that's what gets a lot of my skeptic, especially guy friends, to at least like, okay, yeah, I'll check this out.
Yeah.
And then from there on, like, if I've given you your chart, I'll like to just make a couple points, and then I'm like, just Google the rest, because it's going to get worded better. And I give them like trusted sites for all that stuff. But, my biggest thing is just have, like, print out a little chart for yourself or put it on your phone. It was the background of my phone for a while, so I'd always just like kind of like have it right there, and just bop around the world like you do normally, and just, yeah, just keep looking back at it, and keep, you know, there's sometimes, I also say the wording of it is beautiful. Like, sometimes it's almost like poetic with how it's written. And yeah. I'm like, just keep reading all you can on it, and find those little bits and pieces that kind of stick with you, and just notice them throughout the day. And just, yeah, you don't have to linger on it. You don't have to be like, I've got to get my journal out right now and do this, but like, feel that gut feeling and know if you're listening to it or not, or feel, yeah, that really defined clarity that you get from like the Ajna. And just take a second and realize that maybe you don't have the answers to everything, and maybe this is an intuitive way to think about what you don't know about yourself.
Yeah.
So I guess questioning is really the biggest advice that I can give to people, and take it slow. I mean, I like I said, I think I'm 20% might even be generous,
yeah,
of getting through all of my information, but like, I have a bunch of little like blurbs like this printed out. Yes. And I'll just find them randomly, and I'll be like, all right, gene keys, I see you. I'm gonna go back to that audiobook that I downloaded about the gene keys.
Yeah.
And so I just keep it around, but don't push yourself too hard with it, because it can be overwhelming, very, very overwhelming sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's really, really good advice. One of the things that I sort of talk to a lot is, you know, like, just look at it, just look at the design. And, you know, like, one of the, I heard someone say once that if we just show our kids their chart, that's all they need. Like, you can already start to work within them. So it's the same with us. And one of the really cool things when we first come to human design is just to get curious about the things that pop for you, like what stands out on your chart. You know, I literally had a gate about a month ago that I was like, is that in my design? Really? Like, I really just hadn't paid much attention to it. And this has happened to me throughout the last 5 years, is I haven't forced it. I've just been really like, I'm going to play with it. What does this mean? You know, like, there was so much talk, if you like, in my world around the 3420. So I know that channel really well. But there's all these other little pieces, especially as I go into the gene key stuff, that I'm like, God, I hadn't paid too much attention to you. Or, oh, I remember you from, you know, a couple of years ago when I talked about you, and wow, you really do play a big part in my life. So I think that it's really important that it's that dance between the knowledge, knowing, learning, and integrating it, you know? And if we try and force it in, it doesn't work. We have to actually sort of surrender through our strategy and authority. And I suppose I want to ask you, because within your design, you've got head and ajna, but you're obviously a sacral authority, and you're a line one, you know, like there must be some sort of big dance between the mind and the body. And how did you come to starting to trust, you know, using the mind as an outer authority to serve others, yet keeping all your decisions internal in the body?
That's a really good question. I was a diver for 14 years, a springboard and platform diver. So I would do, like, you know, 3-meter springboard. If you watch the Olympics, that's like the high dive. And then, like, I would be all the way up top on the 10-meter doing like 3.5 flips, or like doing a handstand to like 2 flips. And I don't know, all this crazy stuff that, like, your body knows what it's supposed to do, but your brain is like, no, like, let's get away from this board. We need to get away from the thing that's going to, like, make us hit our heads. But you're also supposed to stay, like, an arm's length away from the board. That's like the correct distance, like just a little over an arm's length. But your brain is like, no. Let's go way far away from this thing that's going to hurt us. So that whole experience of having to kind of balance that, like, physical with the mind was, I think, prepped me very well for this, for like integrating human design into my life, because there's a whole lot of, this doesn't seem right, but you know it's right, and your body knows it's right, and you've been practicing for this, so you know that you're going to be able to flip through the air 3 times and then kick out at a certain time so that you can get your hands to the water. And
I love that.
It ends up being this beautiful little dance between the mind and the body. And I ended up coaching. I still coach the club team that I used to dive for as a kid. I coach now.
That's so cool.
A lot of the kids who were like 6 or 7 when I was like a senior in high school, now they're like seniors in high school. So it's this crazy little,
that's so cool.
Full circle experience. But being on the coaching side of it, I coached a NCAA team, and I gave all the girls that I coached their human design charts.
That's awesome.
I was like, do with this what you will, but if it's a little too woo woo for you, whatever. But if it's not, it can really help you get it. It really just helps you. It's like a brain workout almost.
Yeah.
Not necessarily a brain workout, but like a emotional brain workout.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to ask, because it's, I have to jump in and ask questions because I've got loads of them coming up. Number one, I want to come back to, once you gave the girls their human design, like, did you coach them differently? I want to come back to that. But the piece that I love that you said is like that dance between the mind that says, don't get too close to the board, and the body that says, I've got this. I feel like this is actually something that, no matter what personal development we're into per se, or spiritual work, this is the dance. Like, this is the dance of life. Like, the ego is never going to shut up. Like, it, I know for me, it's definitely a lot quieter than it was, but it's never going to shut up. So it's really learning that dance, that balance. And like when you were talking, I did equestrian sports. I evented when I was, up until I was in my early 20s, I evented and then went on to do dressage. And I remember exactly that, you know, like coming up to a fence, flat chat, you know, like, oh shit, here we go, bloody hell. And then the body going, wee, you know, all at the same time. I think that's really powerful. And when we become conscious of that dance, you know, the mind saying, oh, we need to stay safe, and the body saying, no, we've got this. I think that's such a powerful awareness for us to have. Like, we don't need to shift it or change it. We can just be like, no, head, I'm not going to listen to you, but body, I'm going to listen to you. I love that.
Yep. That was, it sounds so crazy when people ask me about doing like 10 meter diving. So when I do front 3.5 off of 10 meter, so this is like 33 feet up. This is like 3 stories up.
Yeah. It makes me want to vomit a little bit just thinking about it.
it would make me feel that way too, even just talking about it now. So you'd walk to the end of the platform and then you kind of do your approach back. So you like run to the back of the platform. So you're like basically counting your steps. So you're like, I know I got this amount of space before I go off. And you go to the end and you look over the edge and you're just like, this is so stupid. And you turn around, you go back and you're just like, all right. You think about all the things that you practiced. And then some people do this, some people don't. But for me, it was like, all right, 3, 2, 1, stop thinking, fuck it, let's go.
Love
and
that.
You know what? I don't think I had ever hurt myself at all. I don't even think I've ever missed that dive. And it's just because I always, right when the overthinking starts, that's when I would shut it down and trust all of the work that I had put in prior to that.
Yeah, so, love
and
that.
That's a pretty extreme experience for that. So I think that was pretty ingrained in my head just because of the jumping from heights factor.
I totally love that. And I totally resonate, you know, like riding cross country on a horse, like when you're in they sort of count you down in the box and, you know, any eventer that's done it a few times, like literally as they're counting you down, the horse is underneath you, like feeling like it's about to explode. And I remember having exactly the same thing. The minute you feel like, and I'm in there like, and I think actually I might have vomited a couple of times. Like I'm that nervous. I've just whatever. And then the moment they're like, go, that's it. There's no more thinking. It's like, I'm in, there's no going back. Let's enjoy the ride. So I totally resonate with that.
And that's I think that's just mindfulness in action right there. I think that's when I first really resonated with mindfulness. And I don't think I even understood what it was yet.
Yeah. But I love that.
Yeah.
So tell me, once you had all the girls human design, did you notice that you coached them differently depending on their design? Like, was there an impact from your point of view?
Yeah, a little bit. So I think the main focus that I had with their charts and in terms of the way that I coached them was just with their root centers more than anything. Because you really, like I said, you really have to trust yourself to like be able to do the things. And so like sacrals and roots, just if you're going to be high energy, I know how to direct that. And if you're going to be a little like shaky with trusting yourself, I also know how to coach for that too. But my whole thing with coaching is kind of like what we talked about earlier with forcing it is just not the right way to learn it. So like there could be someone who's like learning a new dive and they're like, oh, I really don't like to do back dives, but I'm trying to teach her a back 1.5. If I just keep forcing her to try it over and over and over again, and she keeps not like almost making it or not like committing to it, she's going to hate that dive forever. Mm. She's never going to want to do it. Even if she gets good at it, she's going to hate it because the process was forced and she learned it the wrong way. So I always, one of the first things I tell any kids that I coach or any like athletes that I coach, I'm like, I will never make you do something that I don't think you're physically ready to do, but it's always up to you in the end. If you're not mentally there, that's your decision. And we can always come back to it tomorrow. The world is not
going to, I love that.
If you haven't done a back 1.5. Right?
It's such a change. Like it's such a shift from my generation, you know, like 20 years and it's so different. You know, I even think like back when, you know, when I was eventing, like I literally went to one of these clinics with one of the Roy Cross, which are like leading eventers or show jumpers they were, but like huge thing. And I remember being the youngest on the smallest horse and just being like totally overwhelmed. And it was very much, and again, this is Australian culture as well, like, you know, go hard or go home, you know, it's all this sort of this old culture. And I remember he put the final fence up of the day and I was like, oh, I'm out. I can't do that. And I said to him, and this is something you don't do. When I was a kid and in Australia, you don't say I'm not doing it to the coach, especially someone who represents Australia. You just don't do that. You just like, just suck it up, sweetheart, and get the hell on with it. And I remember saying to him, I'm like, I don't think I can do that. Like, that's not in me. And he literally, in front of the whole group, he said, well, if that horse isn't making it over it, no one is. And he like put all this extra pressure on me. And I remember being like literally shitting myself. And the moment the horse, you know, took off, I've just let go of this massive like, fuck, you know, and, you know, from a 12-year-old girl, this was not appropriate. But anyway, like I just remember being so pushed. And I spent so many years trying to feel really confident in cross country again because I'd just been pushed way past. Like, as an MG, we have this natural tendency to get out of our comfort zone. We're not afraid to get out of our comfort zone. But if someone takes advantage of that and pushes you too far, then that can be when it gets really hard to sort of reel it back in. And I love hearing that the coaching nowadays is more about, okay, well, what are you capable of? Where do you feel like you are just out of your comfort zone, but it's still really manageable? Because that's an area of growth. It's, whereas if we push people too far, then that becomes potential trauma. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. You're 100% right. Yeah. And that there's, you can't grow without getting out of your comfort zone. And, you know, getting out of your comfort zone is exactly like it sounds. It's not comfortable. It's going to be a little bit scary. And it's, you got to find that right level of anxiety where it's like productive anxiety.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to remind yourself too that, like, just because you're like, oh, I love this Netflix show that I'm watching and I could just continue to do it. But like these people that I just met the other week asked me to go out for drinks. Like, it would be really nice to just stay under this blanket. But what if like you met like your new best friend out that night?
And I love that.
It's that willingness to go right past the comfort zone, but not so far to make you never want to go back out of the comfort zone again.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's really important. I really loved the example that you used as well, because I think sometimes, or I know in my experience, way too many people think that, well, if it's not comfortable, don't do it. You know, it means your design's telling you not to do it. And that isn't true. It's just not true. Like, especially as a sacral being, like, do I have energy for it or not? I know for me, we're in winter right now. If I wake up in the morning, my soul, my energy is like, oh my God, it's sunny. Let's go. My body's like, are you kidding me? It's freaking freezing out there. I don't want to get out of bed. So you do, again, it's that mind, a body thing. It's like, okay, well, do I want to align to my soul? And like you say, get off the couch. I mean, because I've got an undefined root center, both my boys have. So we do have a tendency to be like, oh, well, we'll just sit it out. Whereas Justin's got a defined root center and he's like on the go all the time as a projector, like he just naps a lot. But I think this is a really important thing for us to understand and to hear. Like, you do still have to be in touch with your body enough to go, yeah, I need to get off the couch. You know, I need to, there's this thing that I'm uncomfortable to, this step I'm uncomfortable taking my business, or yep, it's really time to resign from the job and fully step into the part-time business or whatever it is. Like, we still have to be connected enough to our internal guidance system, because it's not always just going to be easy. It's not always going to be that moving through the crowd easily and effortlessly. Sometimes someone stands in our way and we have to trust that. Where do we flow? Do we flow left? Do we flow right? But we have to actually do it, as opposed to just being like, oh, it doesn't feel quite right. Because when it doesn't feel quite right, it's often an indicator we're at the edge of our comfort zone as well.
Yep. Yep. 100%. And then there's sometimes where on the flip of that, you have to be like, it is okay for me to stay on the couch and I'm making that decision tonight. Because for as much as you would love to just, as an MG, just go, go, go all the time, I feel like it's okay to sit down and relax for a minute, and you don't have to feel like stressed about relaxing.
Yeah.
So.
Totally resonate with that. With that.
Yeah.
So the last question I really want to ask you about your design, just because I feel like I come across so many Cross of Edens, and I wonder, like, was there that time in your childhood where, because this, the what's the word? I don't know, story. Like, what we hear about the Cross of Eden is that this is an energy of someone who probably in their childhood, they have an experience where they feel like they get thrown out of Eden. And because they get thrown out of Eden, they then go and create their new heaven on earth, their new Eden. And ultimately over time, they help other people create, you know, their heaven on earth. Does that resonate with you?
Yeah, that 100% resonates with me. That was also the moment in human design, like in my research, where I like sat back and was like, that I get that so much. So I came out as bisexual a few years ago, and I think I realized that at a very young age. And I also realized kind of the stigma of it. And I had it bottled in for so long that I had already accepted it at when I was 13. And I had just exactly that. I just created my own Eden. And, you know, I had kind of just realized I never fit the mold of the like normal straight edge.
Normal in inverted commas, because there is no such thing. But I hear what you're saying.
I use the phrase normies too much sometimes, because I'm like, I resonate so far on the other side of that. So yeah, I've always just felt like I didn't really fit. I'm like, all right, this garden is nice, but like, I feel like I could build a real much nicer, better garden for me over here. And you know, then you learn, I don't know, I just kind of learn how to balance the fact that the world works the way it does, and my brain kind of works a little bit different than that.
Yeah.
And you just find the way to,
I love that. To
make your own little, like to make your own little garden within the.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's fascinating. Thank you so much for sharing, because I think this is really important. Like, especially as we move to the new paradigm, that, you know, like normies aren't going to exist, you know, they're going to disintegrate because we're not normal. No one's normal per se. It's just that we're coming out of this paradigm where we all had to exist as part of a tribe. And that's breaking down those bonds, those relationships. And one of the things last week I ran this class in HDX about sex, love, and intimacy and the new paradigm, and how things are shifting and changing. And I think what's really interesting, because we talked about it in there, is that we are in this time now where sexuality is completely changing. And it's changing because there is no one way. And it's that's why we're experiencing what we're experiencing, where people are like, but I feel like this, and I feel like this, and this is how I identify, or this is how I identify. So, and this is such an important time, because as we get to the new paradigm, we're really like, even sex itself is changing, because sex has been all about, you know, whether we like it or not. And especially at your age, it's probably not about procreation, but at the end of the day, that's what sex has all been about. It's just, so we have babies and we advance the human race. Whereas as we move into the new paradigm, it's not about that anymore. It's becoming about intimacy. It's becoming about, you know, like our deep soul connections. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to be having as much sex. There's a lot of talk about this new paradigm that there's not going to be a lot of it, because it's going to be so different. It's going to be intimate. It's going to be about soul connection, or consciousness, or awareness, and, you know, a really different experience. So what's so important is that right now, people feel comfortable, like yourself, and I'm sure comfortable is not the right word, but people feel free enough to tell their truth, because we are going through this time, whether it's our sexuality, our purpose, our relationships, our money, that all of us, including myself, whatever the people are teaching, that's great, but there's going to be your version of that. So we have to learn how to, you know, drive our own bus, we have to learn how to support ourselves in our own experiments, so that we can tell our truth to ourselves and trust our own answers. Does that resonate with you?
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a lot less posturing that goes on. I think a lot of people I think a lot of people need to be like kind of pushed into it. Like, that's why human design is great. Like, if I'm reading your chart and I'm like, oh yeah, dude, you've got a defined sacral. So like, do you always feel like you need to be doing something? And he's like, yeah. It's like, oh yeah. And you've got a defined root center. Do you feel like you know what you need to be doing all the time? Like, yeah. And then I'm like, okay, so does this resonate with you? Like, you know, and then you start kind of going down that line with them, like line of questioning about like whether they thought about this or thought about that, or what's your zodiac sign, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
People will just kind of open up to you. And I feel like they won't be like, oh, that's no, that's not in line with what I believe. It's like, they're like open to learning more are learning, at least open to the idea of learning more.
Yeah. And it's because you see them, you know, like when we have people's charts, we see them. One of the things, one of the experiments that that I really want to sort of spend more time on is just working with reflectors and really learning how to see a reflector. Because
I want to meet a reflector so bad. I have yet to meet one. Or maybe I have, but I've yet to read the chart.
Exactly. Exactly. I feel like they also must. I get lots of defined wheel centers and lots of reflectors. Like, I find that really interesting because these are like small percentage of people, but I do tend to come across quite a few of them. But anyway, that's probably a really great place to finish up. And I just want to say thank you so much for coming on the podcast and sharing your story. And I'm sure inspiring lots of people out there to go down the human design rabbit hole.
Yeah. Yeah. If there's anything that, you know, if you're on the fence about doing it, or you want to teach someone or get someone interested in it, just talk to them like it's a journaling tool. Be like, do you like journaling? Like, do you want to be able to like get a little blueprint of yourself to like journal about?
Love it.
Human design's the way to go. So thank you so much for having me. I love this conversation. This is great.
You're so welcome. Thank you so much for joining, Michael. And thank you everyone for being here. If you're curious, if you want to follow Michael on Instagram, all his deets will be in the show notes. So check him out. Thanks again for joining. Thanks for everyone for listening. And I look forward to having you on the next podcast. Bye for now. Thanks everyone for being here all the way to the end of the podcast. I hope you got lots of value out of it. I certainly had a lot of fun doing it. Could I please ask that you share this podcast with friends if you found it valuable? And also, bonus points, could you leave a review for me as well on Apple? It would be greatly appreciated. If at any point you would like to be on the podcast, or you've got questions that you'd like me to discuss on the podcast, by all means, get on my socials and DM me. Everything you need is there in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Bye for now.